Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging, and today only, the issues of dying. I have a special guest with me here in my massive studio, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me. Glad you're here. A couple things we have to get out of the way, as always. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one who knows what he's talking about, like the one sitting next to me. I'm not securities licensed. Don't want to be. I'm not a CPA. I can't give tax advice. And everything I talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of tax, financial, or other legal advice. That doesn't mean they're my opinions only, and quite often my opinions are correct. But they are my opinions only. I have to say that. Oh, and I have a California insurance license because somebody will get mad at me if I don't say that. But I can't snake your drain. So I'm not a licensed plumber, so I can't
do
that.
I'm sure if you tried hard enough.
I can snake my own drain. I just can't snake somebody else's drain. We had a great workshop yesterday. For those of you that missed the workshop, why? It makes no sense to me, but that's okay. We're going to talk today. I've been talking on this show for 20 years about the issues of aging. What happens to us as we get older? What happens before we die? What happens when we're sick? Well, today I'm going to talk about when we die. And I want to give you a couple contact points. Remember, you can always get a hold of me at my phone number, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. I've probably forgotten something, but I want to get to the meat of the matter here, and I'll clean up the detritus later. I have a special guest. Well, he's not a special guest. I've known him for a long time. He's been on this show a long time. He's had his own radio shows before. And he's an elder law attorney. So I want to take a minute, and Dustin, I want you to introduce yourself, tell people who you are and what you do.
Well, thanks, Bob. Glad to be here this morning. I'm Dustin McFarland. I am an estate planning and elder law attorney, and I take care of a lot of probates as well. And so the focus of what I do is helping people prepare to get old, and then also laying out what happens after people pass away, and that's what we're talking about today.
Dustin, okay. Stop. I have a trust. There's nothing I need
to know.
No, let's back up. I have a will, and in the will it says that my two lovely children, Fred and Ernst, get everything I have. What are you talking about? There's things to do
with
that. Well,
and I didn't back up before that. How about you only have one child, and I only have a house, and he's just going to get it when I die?
Yeah, because I want him to have the house.
And so a lot of kids will just take the death certificate down to the county recorder and say, "Dad died. I'd like to put the house in my name. Here's his death certificate. Make that happen."
I'm shocked. You mean it doesn't work that way?
Oh, my gosh. This is California. Nothing works that way. Nothing is smooth.
So you're telling me, you're telling me, that this is what happens, is that there, after somebody dies, I'm being a little facetious about this, folks, but because I deal with this and Dustin deals with this every day, it's always kind of amazes me, I know it amazes him, that people think because I have a will or because I have a trust, when mom and dad die, it just goes to the kids, they walk into the bank, they walk down to the county, and it's theirs.
Yeah, it's just not that smooth. And so even if you just have a will and all you have is a house, your family will still go through probate. And so a will does not solve all problems. A will really doesn't have that effect.
I have a client right now that has had a trust, and you know who this client is, and she had $85 in a credit union account. And the $85 was in her name, not the trust name.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hire you. I'm going to hire you. Yeah, I'm already hiring. I have to hire you to do what to get $85?
So it depends on if the 85 is the only amount of money, but the $85, we have to go to the bank and either present some sort of formal legal document, or we have to go to court and establish that the trust should own the money. But banks make life really difficult.
To get $85.
Yeah, you just can't get the money out.
Okay, well, but I had a power of attorney. Yeah, so, I have mom's power of attorney.
Sadly, that power of attorney ended when mom died. So a power of attorney dies with you.
So what I'm trying to do in kind of a rapid-fire, over-the-top way, folks, is explain to people that even though for 20 years on this radio program I'm talking about what happens if the stroke fails, what happens if you don't die, what happens if you are one of the 5.5 million people that have Alzheimer's or dementia or a stroke or ALS, whatever. I'm talking about what happens after you do die. And there's more stuff to do.
So you started out with, in fact, this one client having to deal with her body at the hospital, or with hospice, rather.
Yes.
At the house. And so you had to arrange somebody to come pick up the body. You had to arrange for the mortuary to do whatever they were going to do. You had to decide whether or not you're going to hold a service, whether it's going to be an open casket service. And if so, were there, you know, did she need those, that type of help? Then you had to decide if she's going to be cremated or buried. You had to pick the casket because she hadn't done, or you had to pick, if she'd been buried, you had to pick the casket, right?
Which we did.
You had to then arrange for a cemetery.
Yep.
Or someplace for her to be buried.
Yep.
Then you had to deal with all of her, if they want to be buried at sea or some other thing, you have to deal with that.
I had to deal with her cell phone. He doesn't know I'm going to do this, but behind me, sitting underneath that orange case right there, what is there?
Oh, it's an iPad.
It's an Apple iPad. She had an Apple iPad. Guess what I'm trying to do for the last 2 weeks right now?
I think you're trying to find the passcode.
I'm trying to get into the Apple iPad, and Apple, of course, isn't cooperating. Now, just as an aside, as an attorney, why would I want to get into her Apple iPad?
There's very possibly personal information that would be helpful or necessary.
There may be mailing lists. There may be friends. There may be bank accounts we don't know about, email confirmations. She may have open Facebook accounts.
Computer accounts, digital accounts, all the ways you pay your bills online, all of the electronic devices that you own, all of those things have to be dealt with. And the list goes on and on and on. And if you were to write down all of the times you entered in a password, all the things you dealt with every day, it's huge.
I had her checkbook.
Okay.
And on the checkbook, it had the name of the bank. Big bank.
Yeah.
You know, everybody know the name of it. Just had the bank. You know, the bank. And I'm going, okay, this bank probably has 50 branches in town.
Yeah.
So I picked a bank that had this name, and I went in there and said, does this person have an account here? And guess what they said?
We can't talk to you.
What do you mean you can't talk to me? I'm the trustee of the trust. But you don't have a death certificate, so we can't talk to you. When you get the death certificate, come back and go to any branch. And so finally, a week and a half later after I get the death certificate, I can find out what branch. So I go to the branch. Guess how long it took me to get control of. I'm the trustee of her trust.
It's a trust of bank.
It's a trust. You know, it's a nice trust. It's well done. I'm the trustee. I've got a death certificate. Guess how long it took me at the branch to get control of that bank account?
I'm guessing 2 hours.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's an IRA at this bank,
which is not in the trust.
Which means, how do I find out about the IRA?
They won't talk to you unless you're the beneficiary.
And how do I find out the beneficiaries?
You have to be one. It's this horrible circle. They want letters from a court, is what they usually want.
So I'm going to have to come back to you as the attorney.
We're back to going to court to get a letter signed by the judge saying Bob has the ability to look at the IRA.
So I can find out who the beneficiaries are.
Yeah.
Bob, Dustin, we're really confused. What do you mean? That it's in a bank account. We have a trust. IRAs aren't in the trust. I have a life insurance policy.
Same thing as the IRA. You can't, unless you're a beneficiary, which you're not, because you're not family. You're just a trustee. So you don't know. They won't talk to you. They won't disclose information. They won't even really confirm or deny that there's assets in the account. You could spend all this time going through this rigmarole trying to figure it out, lo and behold, there's nothing there.
And I want to go back to this about six times before we're done today. But I have her power of attorney.
Again, power of attorney ended with her. Power of attorney ends at your death.
So the minute she was declared dead, I don't have her power of attorney.
That's correct.
Who has her power of attorney?
Doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
I mean, I guess the court, right? Yeah, the judge.
Somebody down the road.
Yeah, but okay. No, it doesn't exist.
So I had a cell phone. She had a cell phone. I needed to cancel the cell phone. Why do I want to cancel the cell phone? Because I don't want to keep paying the bill for a cell phone that she's not going to answer. So I've got to cancel the cell phone.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck with that. Okay. I have to cancel this city garbage.
Good luck.
I have to cancel the electric.
No one.
Because the house is, I had to hire a real estate agent to sell the house. I couldn't hire the real estate agent until I had what?
Death certificate.
Death certificate. I wanted to arrange for an estate sale so we could sell the stuff in the house. There's no heirs. There's no lineal heirs. Right. I couldn't sign the contract.
No, not until you had a death certificate.
But I had a power of attorney.
Yeah, well, that that ended when she did. And I just dealt with one of these, not this client, it's different, who nobody had her Social Security number.
Right.
So because nobody had her Social Security number, guess what we could not get?
Well, I'm going to go you one better.
A death certificate.
This person was born in a foreign country. One of the things you have to have, and I'll bet you most of you don't know this, folks. I guess I knew it, but it didn't dawn on me at the time. In order to get a death certificate, you have to have the name of the person that died, and maybe a spouse. But what else do you have to have?
Their parents.
Now, this person was born in a foreign country. She has no lineal heirs.
And nobody, there's no grandma or grandpa. Nobody knew who these people were.
I found a birth certificate done in a foreign language that I had to go get translated so I could find out who her parents were so I could get a death certificate. So, folks, what I'm trying to tell you is when you think this is all going to work out, because 54 years ago when grandma died, it all worked out okay. We're not 54 years ago.
The system is complex.
The sims, it's more than complex. It's stacked against the person trying to do this. Creditors. How do I find out if she owed money to anybody?
So the way you do it is you sit on the mail and you just watch the mail come in.
Mail. Okay, she's dead. She's deceased. Okay, what do I have to do?
So you have to notify the post office that she's dead.
And I have to forward
her mail probably to you.
To me. Now listen to this, boys and girls. And I knew this before I did it. You can do a forwarding notice online. So I go to the U.S. Postal Service online to forward her mail. One of the things most people don't know is, well, that sounds pretty easy, Bob. But you have to have a credit card on which $1 can be charged, and that credit card has to be in the name of the person whose address you're changing, in this case, a deceased person.
Good luck with that.
Okay. Now, did we finally get a change? Yes. But one more thing that probably took me a good 45 minutes to an hour to complete and fill out and do. The other fun thing I have to do, because she died this year and it wasn't complete, I had to get or make sure her what was done.
I bet her tax return.
Her tax returns. I don't know.
Because as the trustee,
yes,
you're liable.
Yes.
If you don't do
it. Say that one more time.
As the trustee, you're personally liable if you screw things up. So if you just decide not to file the tax return because to heck with it, I don't want to, or I don't have the information, you could be held liable for unpaid taxes because you distributed her money as opposed to pay the IRS.
Well, I could be, there's another way I could be liable. What if there was a refund due?
Well, it's the same.
And I didn't file the tax return. I didn't get the refund. Therefore, I didn't give money to the heirs.
Sure. So instead of the IRS being mad at you, the heirs are mad at me.
Okay. Oh, and let's talk about this for a minute, because this is a good time to talk about this. Well, you and I ask the same question when people come in. We may ask it in different ways, but and this question happens really, really early in the conversation. And that is, tell me about the kids.
Yeah.
Tell me about the family. Tell me about who we're worried about. Now, you've just been, and everybody says when they come in, the initial is something along the, oh, everybody, we all love, we're a close family, everybody loves everybody.
Yeah.
And then you explore a little more and you find out other stuff. But all of this assumes that all the family are going the same direction and on the same page. You've just had two recent experiences. Without going into a lot of detail, because we don't want to break anybody's confidence. By the way, if you talk to any elder law attorney, they can give you 100 of these stories off the top of their head. But just give me the two from recently.
One, a lady passed away. She had no direct, she had no children. She had no spouse. And so a family member just rushed in and stole the car out of the garage the next day. I have no words.
And some of you are going, how did they do that? It happens all the time, folks. And what's the other one? I love this one. I don't know something happened during the funeral.
The funeral was going on. And so instead of going to the funeral, one of the kids went to the bank because they were a co-trustee, cleaned out the account, and then left the country. What do you do? Now we're trying to administer an estate. We have to deal with either stolen property. Do we get law enforcement involved? Yes or no? Do we have to go to court and sue them? Yes or no? Do we have, and we still have bills to pay. We still have a house to maintain. We still have things that have to be done. But oh, by the way, not that it's difficult enough, but families involved.
Little things like there's a gardener. How do you find the gardener if you don't know who the gardener is and pay them off? There's a pool service. How do you find the pool service and tell them you still want the pool cleaned, arrange to pay for them until the house is sold? How do you deal with the 10,000 things that you can't imagine? One of the recent estates that I helped with, the person was a hoarder to some degree.
Yeah.
In her garage, I will estimate there were 30 cases, not bottles, cases of water. In her garage, there were 50 bottles of fabric softener, all unopened.
Three freezers of food.
Three freezers full of food. So how do you deal with all those things? So you're sitting there and you know you're going to have a garage sale, but you got a freezer full of food. So the food is all going to be past its sell-by date. You can't sell it with the food in it, so you have to arrange to dispose of the food so that you
all
can sell
all the medications.
Now there's another one. Let's say you have someone who's a diabetic and there's syringes in the house and there's medicines in the house and there's pills in the house. Do you know how you are supposed to dispose? Not flush them down the toilet, folks.
I think
folks.
You start your own needle exchange program.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Don't do that.
But we had to deal with a lot of medications that were in the house. How do you deal with that?
I've got one right now. She was kind of a hoarder. But guess what the CC&Rs don't allow? Garage sales and estate sales. We actually have to arrange a truck, a big box truck, to load up her entire house and move it somewhere else where we can sell everything.
The list goes on, and I don't want to say it's endless, but it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. So we, in the 6-7 minutes we got left here, we've laid out, I think, the problem that dying isn't simple. Yes, everybody knows grandma in Iowa died and the farm went to the kids, okay? But for the most part, the processes after dying are not simple. They can be confounding. They can be... So what do we do today? What do we make sure that we've done today?
Well, so you know what I like? I like the fact that you've done this a dozen times. I like the fact that this isn't your first rodeo. So that when somebody passes away and you're named the trustee, Bob... you know exactly what needs to be done. And it's still troublesome, but you're not running around saying, what do I do, what do I do? You've been down the path. You know the decisions to make. And that's, it makes it, as the attorney assisting, it makes it a lot easier working with somebody who's done it a dozen times or more, as opposed to the trying to navigate those waters the first time.
So it's like anything else. And here's people's idea of dying. We have a funeral plot. Well, I have bad news for you. Funeral plot, the people, this person had a funeral plot. I just paid $5,000 for all the other funeral services that weren't part of the plot.
Yeah, it's common.
Is really common. So people think that death planning ends with a trust or a will and a plot. I hear people say all the time, well, we're going to be buried at the Veterans and National Cemetery out in Dixon. And my answer is, so you're going to put Fred in the back of the station wagon and take him out there? Well, no. What do you mean? Well, you've got to get Fred out to Dixon. How are you going to do that? Have you thought about that? Who's going to be invited? Who's not going to be invited? It's just like what I've talked about for 20 years, which is pre-planning. Post-planning, post-death planning, is just, if not more important, just as important.
You're going to, because if you have children or family that are going to inherit what you have, then this post-death planning should be very thorough. Well, should be thorough anyway, but you're protecting them. And then if everything's going to charity, you're protecting the charity and making sure it goes as smoothly and seamlessly as possible. The last thing you want is to end up in court or drag this thing out for years. You want it to just go very quickly, and having somebody who's done it a number of times is huge.
Well, one of the things you and I are going to do is we're going to do a little workshop on this in your office upcoming. We haven't set a date yet. So if you're interested in coming, and it'll be at Dustin's office, which is in Fair Oaks. He can put 20, 30 people in there if and there might even be a cookie. I would say in the next several weeks, maybe a month, we're going to do a workshop. If you want to be included in that, then you need to send call me. Or send me an email and said, I want to be included in the workshop with you and Dustin.
Because there's a lot more than just signing your will. There's forms to be filled out. There's
tons of them.
Things to be done.
This is not going to be advertised in the paper or anything like this. This will be by invitation only, and I'm making the invitation now. So it'll be sometime, and it'll be during the week. It'll be sometime in the next. We might do two in a day, like one at 10 and one at 1 or something like that. But if you want to come to that workshop, you have to call me or email me. My phone number is 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. And the sole subject of that little workshop discussion will be post-death planning. We'll have a checklist. We'll have things you can go through, and we'll tell you how you can make sure you have done all of this in advance so that when your mom or dad dies, it's seamless, it's smooth as can be, and everybody knows what their roles are and their obligation and their purpose is. We got about a minute and a half or so left, a couple minutes, so any last thoughts, Mr. McFarlane?
I think just that the more you do in front of it, the easier it is for your friends and family who have to deal with it when you're not here. It's really important, and I hope to see you at the workshop.
I need to say this too for both of us, but especially for Dustin. I'm not an attorney, he is. We're not partners. We work in conjunction with each other, knowing each other, we're being associates of each other, we help each other and are each other's clients, and we have for years. But it's really important that is said.
Thanks for mentioning it, yeah.
Yeah, we like each other, our clients tend to like us, and we're glad to help you. If you want to come, I don't have a date yet or a time. If you want to be on the list, then either call me at 800-999-8007 or better yet, send me an email at bob@assetsandaging.com. And as soon as we have a time, I know the place, as soon as we have a time and a date, I'll get in contact with you. And we'll probably have, depending on the number of people, probably one in the morning and one in the early afternoon, so that we can accommodate everybody, because I have to hope and believe that there are going to be a lot of you who will want to attend. Dustin, I want to thank you. I know it's you've got to take you've lost your normal $2,000 an hour fee. You've given up to come in here and do this.
I am happy to be here, Bob. I really appreciate you letting me come on and talk about this stuff.
We like each other. We trust each other. Many of you already know Dustin, and many of you already know me. So otherwise, if I can just help with other issues, in the second half of the half hour, we'll go back to talking about some long-term care issues, specifically Alzheimer's and dementia. But I hope this has been helpful to you. Again, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com if you'd like to come to one of our workshops. Again, don't know the time or the date yet, but you'll be on the list and we'll get a hold of you. Dustin, thanks again for being here. I know he's got to go back to work. I'll be back after a short break and after the station makes some money. Don't go away. Thanks for being here, right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Glad to have you with us. I'm so thankful that Dustin came and did this show. We've been talking about doing something like this for a really long time. This is just the first chance we've had to do it. And it's been on both of our minds because so many people are really confused about what happens when after everybody's gone, for lack of a better thing. It's just an important thing to know. It's harder than most people can imagine. It can go smoothly, but it's not easy. There's a difference between the two. So we can always make sure that this goes smoothly, but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily easy or simple or whatever. So I'm really grateful to Dustin for being here and talking about this. And again, if you want to get a hold of me, if you have questions about this or you want to come to one of our little workshops, we don't have the date and time set yet, but we will, then you just can call me or email me, go to my website and email me, and I'll get you on the list, and then we can let you know when it's going to happen. But when it does happen, you won't want to miss it, because it's going to be chock full of information. Okay, getting back to the main topic of this show, I want to talk a little bit about dementia. Where did I get this? I got this from somewhere. Oh, I know where I got this. I'm sitting in a doctor's office the other day, and you know the magazines that they have there, WebMD, you know, and every doctor's office has these. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, oh, this is kind of interesting. Oh, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm flipping through it, and I find this big section on Alzheimer's. And it's about Alzheimer's caregivers. It's called The Invisible Workforce, and you know that I've been talking for years about the plight of caregivers. Nobody pays attention to caregivers. They pay attention to the sick person, they pay attention to the person with dementia, but they don't focus on the caregivers. There is a volunteer army. I'm reading from this article. This is from WebMD. Does it have a date on it? It wasn't that long ago. I don't see a date on any of the pages. So it's from WebMD. You could probably go to Web... Oh, wait a minute. Here's maybe a date over here. No, no date. WebMD.com, this was in their print version. And it's The Invisible Workforce. A volunteer army of 44 million Americans cares for aging or ill loved ones each day, saving the U.S. economy $470 billion in healthcare costs. Then here's the question. But who cares for the caregivers? Who cares for the caregivers? I've been asking that question. I've got, you know, stuff on my website on that. I've been talking about it for a long time. Who cares for the caregiver? In one-third of the cases, the well spouse dies first, trying to take care of the ill spouse. I had somebody call me the other day. And the person said, I really need to talk to you. They're one of my clients. I really need to talk to you. I think I need to get in to see you. And I think it was about a spouse. So I called back. I couldn't call that night. I called the next day. And the person who wanted to talk to me was in the hospital. My guess is that person's in the hospital from the stress of taking care of the ill person. I haven't heard back from them yet. I hope everything's okay. Who cares for the caregivers? Let me give you some numbers. You know, and somebody said a long time ago, there's lies, damned lies, and statistics. I don't remember if it was Will Rogers or if it was Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain. I don't remember who. But let me give you some statistics because they're staggering. Nobody believes this. It's just like when Dustin and I were talking in the first hour, you know, everybody thinks that because they have a funeral plot, they've taken care of what's, or they got a trust or a will in a funeral plot, they think they've taken care of post-death planning, and they haven't. They're going to leave their children in a swamp. And it's going to take those children a long time to get out of it because mom and dad either didn't want to talk about it, were too lazy to talk about it. The children didn't want to raise the issue of mom and dad's death because we're all uncomfortable talking about it. And these numbers just relate to Alzheimer's. Remember, depending on the list you look at, there are 6 to 10 different kinds of dementia. Alzheimer's is simply the largest by number. I want to read you some of these numbers, and I want to connect the dots. You know, there were the people that were at the workshop yesterday learned a lot. The people who weren't there go on living in oblivion, thinking it's all going to be taken care of. Dustin and I were talking before we went on the air, and he's got a family in right now that had a trust that was so poorly done, it's going to take him a long time to undo it. Not only would it have created problems, does it create problems while the person's alive, it would have created a nightmare of problems after the person died. Simply having something doesn't mean you're safe. If you have auto insurance and you haven't paid the premiums, or if you have auto insurance and it's got a $10,000 liability limit and you get sued for $4 million, you got a problem. So by the numbers, current number of people in the United States with Alzheimer's, 5.5 million. 5.5 million that we know of. That's not dementia. That's just people with Alzheimer's. 60 to 80% of all dementia cases are Alzheimer's. So there's another couple million people just have dementia. Whatever you call it, it's going to end poorly. Currently, there are 105 Alzheimer's drugs in development. And by the way, none of the over-the-counter stuff works, folks. Go check them out All the stuff that you've been told works, it doesn't. There is nothing right now that cures Alzheimer's. Nothing. There is nothing right now that cures dementia. Nothing. You can hope it's true if you just take a different kind of vitamin or whatever, but it's not going to cure it. It's false hope, and I hate false hope. Every 66 seconds, a new person is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I'm not making this up. There's 5.5 million people in the United States with Alzheimer's today. By 2050, the estimate will be 16 million. At an estimated cost of caring of $1.1 trillion by 2050. So you have to let that all sink in. Then I'm going to give you a couple of staggering numbers. 5% of all people with Alzheimer's developed it before age 65. I have seen Alzheimer's as early as age 36. And then this one is one nobody ever thinks about or talks about. The number of deaths caused by Alzheimer's in 2015. What do you mean? Alzheimer's, folks, is a terminal disease. Alzheimer's is a terminal disease. I'm going to say it again. Alzheimer's is a terminal disease. So the number of people who died of Alzheimer's in 2015 was over 110,000. So not only did the families get to deal with them for 6, 7, 8, 9 years, then they had to deal with all the issues of them dying on top of that, all caused just by Alzheimer's. I know you're going to escape it. I know it's not going to happen to you. I know that somehow you're special and privileged, and you're going to keep it away from your family, and I'm here to tell you, you're on a fool's errand. It will not work well. It will not turn out well. On January 16th, I'm reading from the article, 2017, life as she knew it came to a grinding halt for Josette Murray. The 51-year-old New Yorker was already juggling two jobs, as an actor and a census worker, raising a 16-year-old son, volunteering with the homeless, and helping her elderly parents with shopping, cleaning, and cooking. After her father, already diagnosed with dementia, landed in the hospital requiring bypass heart surgery, his care became more intense and her to-do list got even longer. I'm reading from the article, I suddenly went from having a schedule I could almost manage to being told Dad needed someone by his side every day, recalls Murray, who had to quit her jobs and now lives with her parents caring for her father 10 hours a day. Her new role hasn't been easy. She has trouble sleeping, is tired all the time, and sometimes feels isolated and depressed. She even let her own health slide. It's like when you're on a plane and they tell you if the oxygen mask drops, you're supposed to place it on yourself first and then go help other people. I put the mask on Dad first, and then I started looking for mine. I couldn't find it. I had no idea how hard this would be. Every person, and I've done well over 1,000 Medi-Cal cases and nursing home stuff, and I've been doing it for over 25 years. Every single person, whether it's a kid, a parent, without exception, every single person, like 100%, every single one of them has said the following thing, the same thing that I just read to you from this article. I had no idea how hard this would be. It is harder than anything you can imagine. And then the next thing I'm going to say will shock you. It has nothing to do with love. If you didn't love your mom or your dad or your husband or wife, you'd put them on the corner with a suitcase with $10 for the Greyhound. But because you do love them, you're going to do all this, and it's harder than anything you can imagine. It causes bankruptcies. It causes divorces. It causes families to be divided. I cannot tell you how many people have sat in my office and the guilt in the children is so great that what they do is start picking at each other rather than being realistic about what they're facing. At least once a week, I have a family in my office that is being dissolved by somebody having dementia because the children can't deal with the guilt. I promised Dad that I would never let him be alone. I promised my wife that I would never let this happen. I promised. And it tears families apart. It ruins finances. It changes personalities. Friends don't come over anymore. I mean, no. Wait until the person with dementia starts urinating in the living room and see how often the friends keep coming over. Wait until he starts swearing. Mom starts swearing like a sailor, and you go, I've never heard such language out of her. Let me know if the friends are still coming over from her bridge club. It's harder than anything you can do. And if you think you will escape it, you are dancing through the graveyard. Everybody listening to me has been impacted by long-term care. About the first half hour we talked about death. We will all be impacted by that. And I'm telling you that almost every family in America has had to deal with a loved one with dementia. I'm just telling you, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, sometimes in my own family, it's been 9, counting parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. Everybody knows somebody that's dealing with this right now. Why do we continue to believe? People come in to see me all the time and they go, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And my answer is, yes, you do know what to do. You just don't like the answer. You're looking for plan C. And there isn't plan C. All the people who didn't come to my workshop yesterday didn't come because they're looking for a cheaper way, whatever that is, or they're looking for plan C. There must be a plan C. There's got to be a secret plan that you can tell me about that's free. Well, you can buy my book for $20. It doesn't have a secret plan in it, but it'll tell you how to accomplish this with some help. If you haven't bought my book, call me. I'll tell you how to get it. It's called Navigating Frailty. Notice it didn't say curing frailty or overcoming frailty. It said navigating it. The name was picked on purpose because it's a journey that you start here and you try to navigate it until you get to here, which is the destination, which is usually death, which then brings on its own set of problems. Lots of people will talk to you about finances and how to make money and how to earn more and how to save it and how to save taxes. This is the only place you're going to go where anybody's going to talk to you about the hard realities of frailty. And from the first half hour with elder law attorney Dustin McFarland, the issues that come with death. When do you begin to prepare for this? When do you begin to take that burden away from your, well, I don't want to be a burden on my children, but you are. No, I never talk about this with my children because I don't want to be a burden on my children. But you are. By not discussing this, by not dealing with it, by not having a plan. I had this wonderful family in my office the other day. They decided mom and dad are getting a little older, a little frail, the kids came in. We're talking about stuff, the kids came in. And now they're out looking for assisted living as a family. They have a plan because they realized they couldn't stay at home, but they wanted to stay together because one of them is more ill. I'm so proud of them because they have faced this as a family head on, and they're hungry for information, and they're hungry for answers. And they're hungry for direction. And they're open to the fact that there's going to be a change in their lives, but that change is going to be better for everybody. It's not going to be the same, but it's going to be better. And mom and dad are going to be safe and warm and secure and taken care of and loved and all of that good stuff. You have a choice. You can be one of the people that doesn't come. That Bob Scrivano, he's so frank about this stuff. He's so harsh. Yeah, well, 25 years of watching the truth, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. This is difficult work. And every person I know who does this and is serious about it is dedicated to it in a way you can't imagine. Every true elder law attorney I know, I mean real elder law attorneys, not ones running mills or people who actually are dedicated to the people that they work with. They care about them. They understand the reality of what's coming. You have a choice. We talked about in the first half hour your choice about planning for death. Well, Bob, I have a funeral plot. That's not planning for death. I have a trust. That's not planning for death. That's planning for no probate. I have a will. Now you really have a problem. We talked about the reality of that. They go together. Planning for the issues of aging is combined with and attached to good end-of-life planning. Not just how do I want to die, but have I set everything up so that I'm truly not a burden on my family? Not talking to each other is the burden, because then nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what to do. That's the burden. So at what point do you decide? I don't know the answer for this. At what point do you decide that it's time to make a difference in your life and the life of your family? It's simple. I have workshops coming up. My next major workshop is in June. It's on June the something. In fact, I got to go look because I forgot to write it down here. I got to find it. It's June the something. I'll find it here in a minute. And then Dustin and I, here we go. My next big workshop is on June the 9th. June the 9th. And then, as mentioned in the first half hour, Dustin and I will be doing a little workshop on post-death planning at a time to be determined. For either one of those, you can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. You can call me at 800-999-8007, or, and this is the best part, you can come in and see me. I am going to start limiting my hours. I'm going to limit the days I see people because I don't want to get behind on taking care of the clients I already have. But you can come in and see me for free. But you have to call and make a reservation to come in and see me. Bring the family. 800-999-8007. Or you can just go to another financial planner, or you can go to another tax guy, or you can go to whoever you want to go to and never have taken a step but be made to feel like you have. One of the things I promise you is when somebody works with me, at the end of the day, they have a really good roadmap laid out. Again, the title of the book, Navigating Frailty. They have a really good roadmap laid out of where they're going and how they're going to get there and who they want to be in charge. Same thing with Dustin. I know his clients, when they're done with him, if they listen to him, it's always about listening, they'll know where they're going. It's not the normal path, but it's the correct path. So you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. You can stay focused on how much interest you're getting in the bank, or you can be focused on the fact that a large portion of you are going to end your lives needing long-term care, which is very expensive, very frustrating, and takes a huge amount of planning. In addition, I can guarantee you that all of you are going to die, and that 90% of you are not prepared for that event, have not talked as a family, have not structured things so that it's taken care of smoothly. It's just the way things are. If you wanted to start taking care of things today, arrange to come and see me. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Yes, even if you're in Sacramento, you call the 800 number. Well, Bob, I want your local number. Okay, my local number is 916-973-0916. They both go the same place. If I'm not in, leave me a message. I'm very good about returning phone calls. 800 888-999-8007. Make the commitment today to get your family together and to not be a burden on your children. And children, make sure you've let your family, your parents know you're willing to accept that burden, because you want this to go smoothly. You want good decisions to be made, and you want the family pulling in the same direction, not in opposite directions. This, everything I've just said, add a factor of 10 if you're married or single and have no children. If you're married or single and have no children, then all the things I've talked about multiply by a factor of 10. If you're married or single and have no children, you should be calling me, getting in to see me tomorrow, because you have a whole nother special set of issues. Assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com is my website. You can go there. You can listen to archived radio shows. You can listen to this radio show again, because it'll be archived there. You can listen to my podcasts. Every Wednesday I do a podcast. You can get information on stuff. You can sign up for workshops, or you can send me an email. Or the fastest way to get a hold of me is just call my 800 number, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Don't procrastinate. Make a difference in your life and the life of your family today. Make it better. The good news is it can be better. The good news is you can do this. 800-999-8007. Well, for Assets and Aging, we'll see you here again same time next week. KFBK. Make sure you listen to my podcast every Wednesday on my website. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.